All right, well, this morning we're blessed, grateful to have David, your wife Lila, and your family here with us this morning from Rome. The church up there we just call Rome. Is it Rome? Is there a name to it? Emmanuel Brotherhood. Okay, I may have heard that before and forgot. So very grateful to have you here this morning, agreeing to come. God bless you as you share. And if you want to share anything in addition to the church up there, or how long are you up there now?
7 years.
7 years, wow. Well, we appreciate David and Lila, the years we got to attend church with you at Harmony many years ago. Time is moving on. Truly it is. Why don't we stand? Can I just stand again one more time? Let's pray for the service and for Brother David as he shares. Father in heaven, thank you for your great love again. Thank you that Jesus Christ is the answer to life in every situation that we find ourselves in. And we know that this morning. Thank you for Brother David's willingness to come and share with us this morning. Just pray that you would bless and anoint him the words that he has to share. Father, speak to our hearts. Speak to my heart, Father. We want to hear from you today. Bless our dear brother. Bless his family for their sacrifice in coming here. And we just commit the hour to you and ask for your divine presence to speak to each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you, David.
Well, good morning. I greet each one of you in Jesus' name. It's a pleasure to be here this morning and worship with you. I greatly appreciated what was shared so far already in the service, and it goes quite well with what I have to share as well. Brother Brian said I can share what if I want to share more about our church up there, but I don't have a lot to share other than we're just a small congregation up in Bradford County where we just sit like our, where we live. We're just like 3 miles off the New York border, and we're just a small Bradford County church. And I told Brother Carl when he asked me to preach here, I said, you're going to have to pray because this is maybe a little bit of a stretch. For instance, I asked Carl, am I supposed to come up here or do I stay down there? I maybe would have rather stay down there because we're all on one level there. And the back row of our congregation is almost at the front row of yours here. And we all fit on less than on this side over here. So I just say that saying that this is a little bit of a stretch for me this morning, but we're not looking to man this morning, we're looking to God. And I know and that's your heart as well. And so I come with a great sense of freedom to be able to share because I know that and I want to bless you for that. I have just a little message here this morning. I'm sure I'm not going to be sharing anything new, but rather just a message of encouragement to all of us. In fact, if I did say I'm coming to share something new, I hope you would probably reject it, and you probably should, because we have the scriptures, and yes, we get new insights and new gleanings, but it's like we heard this morning, it's the same old the way. And so we just have a little message of encouragement this morning. I was meditating some about the word. It's just a small little word, an English word, and our English language is comprised of, I don't know, it's, I think I heard somewhere around 400,000 some words. And I'm just thinking about one little word this morning that I think is out of all the words, to me, it's a very, very beautiful word, a very comforting word. It's a word full of invitation and welcome and comfort, and it's just a very beautiful word. But there also could be some here this morning that maybe this word is not so beautiful and so comforting. And maybe it would actually be a word of dread. And so we're going to look at this little word. Your mind is probably going, what word am I thinking of? You might have many words that would fit this description, and that's fine. But to me, this word is a very beautiful word, and we would just like to look at it this morning. It's the little word, come. Come. It's full of invitation, welcome, comfort, security, rest. And we could name other words that describe it. But come. Think with me this morning of maybe a small child that is outside running and playing and falls and hurts himself, skins his knee and is lying there on the ground and crying. And then he hears the word, come. Come to mama. Come. And the child hears that word, and many times the child will jump up and run as if they weren't even hurt. But they go to the arms of their mother for that comfort, that rest, that healing, those kisses that make it feel better, the band-aids. But the word come, come, very beautiful. Think with me of maybe a young husband and a young wife. Well, we shouldn't even say young, because just last week, Lila and I, we celebrated our 25th anniversary, and very beautiful, and we have a wonderful marriage. And so I'm not going to just say young married wife and a young husband. But think of a husband and wife that love each other, and maybe for some reason they're separated because of a trip or ministry or business or something, and they're separated for a few days, and then the husband sends a message to his wife, I'm coming. I'm coming. Or the wife sends a message, I'm coming, either way. And the emotions that evokes in our hearts, because our love is coming, our security is coming. For the wife, her provider, her protector is coming. When she was alone, she felt vulnerable and insecure, but he's coming. Okay, that beautiful word, he's coming. Think of me of a prodigal situation. The child is out there, but he sends a message, I'm coming. And we could describe this word, and it could go on and put different pictures to it, but I think that suffices. But it's a very beautiful word, I'm coming. Coming, or come. But one of the most beautiful, important reasons, or the reasons why it's a beautiful word, is because it's the message of the Scriptures. Come. Come. All through the Scriptures, Old Testament through the New Testament, it's the message, come. Or, I'm coming. Either way you could look at it. But come. And coming. The Old Testament is filled with the message of Christ coming, and Christ coming as the Christ child. And then when Jesus was here on earth, that's what his message was. Come and follow me. Come, follow me. Jesus said to the children these very beautiful words, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. Come. And we can look at many more, but the message of the second coming of Christ should be one of the sweetest messages to all of us. I'm coming again. Jesus is coming again. But like I said, there may be some here this morning, and most likely, In a crowd this size, there may be some here that maybe this message isn't so sweet. It strikes dread and fear instead of comfort and rest. And the difference between the person that this word is a very comforting word, and from the person that maybe it's not so comforting, is the relationship that they have with Christ, or the individual that is saying, "Come," or "I'm coming." So think with me of a child that knows that they have committed a trespass of some kind against their parents. And maybe the father was away at work all day and mother was dealing with the situation, and mother finally says, "You know, dad's going to have to take care of this when he comes home." And then one of the siblings later on in the day said, "Dad's coming. Dad's coming." And for the child that was in the wrong or something and realizes he's going to have to face father, that word kind of evokes some dread and fear if the relationship isn't right there. And it's the same way when we think of this message of Christ coming, or the word "come," as we look at it in Scripture. You could turn with me to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. So we're just going to take a little bit of time this morning to look at this word. And the first part of it, we're going to be looking at the coming of Christ. In relation to a warning that, you know, Christ is coming to bring judgment and so forth. And we might be looking at this in a way that there may be some here that this stirs up some fear or something like that, rather than comfort. But I don't think we do good to ignore this subject, because Christ is coming. And so we'd just like to take a few minutes and look at that aspect of the word "come." First, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, and reading a few verses here. "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." So here we have in these few verses the thought that there's scoffers that are saying the Lord is delaying His coming. Morning, the sun comes up every day and goes down every day, and time just continues on like it always has. And it's going to keep continuing on. But Peter here says, not so. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He has promised that He's coming again, and He's not slack. Because He didn't come yet, it's not because He's slack, but it's because He's so long-suffering that He would have you all come to repentance. Here's another aspect of come. He wants us all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And so this message of Him coming as a thief in the night, when the heavens and the earth are going to melt away in fervent heat, what does that do to our heart this morning? Does that strike fear in our hearts? Does it strike dread, anxiety? Hebrews 10:37 says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." That's a promise. And when God promises something, it's sure, and it comes to pass. His coming is sure this morning. He's coming. Turn with me now to Matthew 25. We're going to be looking at numerous different scriptures. And there is many that we could look at. It was difficult for me to choose which ones would be the best to look at. So there could be many others that maybe would bring this message out better. But Matthew 25, and just jumping in verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set His sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left hand. And I think we'll stop reading there. But when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, He's going to come. And this is in the context of the rest of the chapter. And in the beginning of the chapter, it's the parable that Jesus gave of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, and the coming bridegroom. And we know the story well, that the 5 wise were prepared and the 5 foolish were unprepared, and the bridegroom came. And then in verse 14, it's the story of the man traveling to a far country, but before he left, he gave talents to his servants. And he went on a long journey. In verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That reckoning there is the same word as accounting. And it's a day of accounting. He's coming back and He's going to ask His servants to give an account. Just like someone that's going over their papers and their finances and doing their accounting. Everything has to match. Everything has to come out at the end of the day. Jesus is coming. And it's going to be a day of reckoning as to what we have done with what He has given us. A day of reckoning. And that's where these verses come in at. Where the Son of Man shall come in His glory and the holy angels with Him. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. It's going to be a day of reckoning. a day of separation. The righteous from the unrighteous. The good from the bad. A day of reckoning. What does this message do? His coming is going to be a day of reckoning. What does this message do to our hearts this morning? There may be some here this morning that this strikes a little bit of fear in their hearts. Luke 12. I think we're just going to jump in at verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. Jumping down to 43. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat his men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will come, will cut him asunder, and will appoint him to his portions with the unbelievers. And the servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. The idea here is that Christ is coming, and it's going to be a day of reckoning, like we said before. And the idea that it's the same idea as the story before, where he's coming back and he's going to require an account for what he has given to us. And we know that we sit here today in heavenly places. We have been given so much. We know so much. We have so much knowledge. We have the scriptures. And because of that, at his coming, much is going to be required. Much is going to be required. Like Brother Stanley's, I guess you call him Stan. It's going to be all. That's what's required. 100% at his reckoning, at his day of coming. What does this message do to your heart this morning when we think of this? Jude 14, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's coming. And it's going to be a day of judgment, where he's going to execute judgment upon all the ungodly. And then we could turn to Revelations, and Stan already mentioned these letters in Revelations. But the idea I'd like to get there, and we're not going to look at them, but you know the letters there, and how that numerous of them, he says, repent, lest I come quickly and remove the candlestick. He said, I believe it to the church of Ephesus and Pergamos and Laodicea, lest I come quickly and remove the candlestick. But like I said in the beginning of the message, this word come is a very beautiful word. But to some it might not be. But this morning, it's my heart's desire that it could be a very beautiful word to each and every one of us this morning. This word doesn't have to be bring dread and fear into our hearts and lives, but it rather it should bring us comfort. But like I said, there probably is some here this morning that it does not bring comfort and rest and peace. But it's my desire that it could be, and I trust that you can find that. Turn with now with me to Genesis chapter 45. Here's a very beautiful picture of the word come. We know that Joseph is a type of Christ in many different ways. And here in Genesis chapter 45, verse 3 is one of them. And we know the story of Joseph, how he was mistreated by his brothers and sold down into Egypt in slavery. And we know the story how, you know, then the famine came and his brothers come to buy corn and the testings that Joseph put his brothers through and his brothers eventually came to the place that they were trembling in fear because of the trouble that was coming upon them. They realized that this is possibly coming upon them because of how they treated their brother Joseph. And then we have these beautiful words here in Genesis 45, verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. All of a sudden, Joseph appeared before them. He was appearing before them, but they didn't know it. But all of a sudden, Joseph did appear before them, and it troubled them. It was a troubling thought. And I can imagine that they were, because of the experiences that they have just gone through with this man, that they probably were trying to discern what they should do. Should they run for safety? Is Joseph going to destroy them, punish them? It struck fear in their heart. They were troubled at his presence. They were troubled at Joseph's appearance, at his coming. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near unto me. Come near unto me. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you have sold into Egypt. I don't know what that word did. I don't know what that word did to those brothers, but it seems like it must have at least melted their hearts to the point where they came. They came. They came to Joseph. And so this morning, if you're one of these, that this message of the coming of Christ isn't a message, a beautiful message, but rather it strikes fear and dread just like it did in Joseph's brothers. Jesus has the same message. Come. Come. You see, we have the opportunity to come to Him first before He comes. I think to Joseph's brethren, especially probably after they look back over that, those words that Joseph spake to them probably were some of the most beautiful words they heard ever since they sold him into slavery. Come. Come to me. They were carrying a load of guilt all these years. Come. Come. Isaiah chapter 1. Very familiar verses. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We have the same message today. Come, come. Though you may be burdened down with guilt like Joseph's brothers were, though your sins may be red like crimson, Jesus is saying, come, come. Let's reason together. Let's sit down and talk about this. I have made a provision. I have made provisions that you can be cleansed. You can be made like, your sin can be made like snow and as wool. Come, let us reason together. Matthew 11. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to go to Isaiah 55. Another beautiful, we should be able to quote these by memory. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Come. Again, Stan talked about, he mentioned these verses, being thirsty, and he mentioned the verses in Matthew where Jesus, there on the Sermon on the Mount, said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And how can we find that filling? It's by coming to Christ, the one that has the water of life. Come. And you know, this message isn't just for those that maybe this message of Christ coming strikes fear in their heart because they aren't prepared. This message is also for all of us, because we, as we live in this world and rub shoulders with the world, and we serve and we give ourselves and we, you know, we're living this life, and we get thirsty, we get weary sometimes, we get dried up, and the message is still the same. Come, come. This is where satisfaction is going to be found. Sometimes maybe we have come to Christ already. But as life goes on, the natural tendency of us as human beings is to become dry and thirsty. And then we start looking around and we start trying to fill that void with things around us again. Whether it's work and finances and money or even service and good things. But this morning, true satisfaction is still only found by coming, and drinking of Him. He is the one that has the water of life. And if you come and drink of Him, it says, incline your ear and come unto me and hear. And your soul shall live. Oh, what beautiful words this morning. Come. Come. And hear me. And your soul shall live. Beautiful words. Matthew 11. Again, very familiar verses. 28, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And again, this message is for all of us. Because as we go through life many times, it's our natural tendency again to start picking up burdens and trying to carry them ourselves. And many of those burdens God has not intended for us to bear. And so very beautiful words this morning. If you find yourself burdened down, to come unto Him and He will give you rest. Yes, we find ourselves burdened in life and busy and many things to do, many responsibilities. But He says that we're supposed to take up His yoke. His yoke. You know, many times it's our natural tendency to be carrying our own yoke. And we try to fit Jesus into our yoke. That's not what it says here. We're supposed to take up His yoke. And sometimes we go through life carrying our yoke, and even it could be so many good things. Serving, ministry, and you name it. It could be very good things, but many times we go about it in our way, the way we think it should be done, and we start carrying these burdens ourselves, and we become weary and heavy laden. He says, take up my yoke, my yoke. It was also alluded to this morning, the verses in Matthew 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's denying yourself is laying your yoke down. Your yoke. Your ambitions. Your dreams. Your ideas. And taking up his yoke. Taking up his cross. And following him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is something that I struggle with many times. To be able to learn how to cast our cares upon him, for he careth for you. You know, many times we have many responsibilities in life, and they come upon us, and they're good things and right things, and many times I go to bed at night and I can't sleep because my mind is just going and going and going about all the things that I'm responsible for and what needs to happen and counsel this and give direction here and if only. And, I don't know if you are that way or not. But oh, if we could just learn just to cast those cares upon Him. Yes, we need to deal with them. We can't ignore them. But we can learn just to roll those burdens over on Him. Whatever it may be. The children, the family, the cares of life. He's saying, come. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. He says, and learn of me. Again, many times we go about it in our own way. But he says, learn of me. See how I've done it. See how I would like to teach you how to do it. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly. And ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think those are so beautiful this morning. Those words, that word, come unto me. If you're laboring and heavy laden this morning, come unto Him. John 14. Verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Such beautiful words this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. I know that's in the context of Jesus telling His disciples that He's going to be leaving. And He didn't want them to be troubled over that thought. But I think we can apply it in many different ways. Let not your heart be troubled. If we can come to Him the way we have just described, the way Joseph's brothers had come to Joseph and come, let us reason together. If you have come to Christ and found your sins being made as white as snow and being cleansed and you come to Christ and you find your thirst being quenched and your satisfaction in Christ Jesus this morning and you come to Him and you truly have laid your yoke down and you have been taking up Jesus' yoke, then I think these can be very comforting words to us this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm coming again. And I'm going to receive you. I'm coming again. So beautiful. If we have our hearts right, if we have a good relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, this message of Jesus coming can be very beautiful. It doesn't have to be like the first message that we were looking at, His coming in judgment. Yes, He's still going to be coming in judgment. But because of a right relationship, it can be a very beautiful thought this morning. And it should, for the believer, the message of the second coming of Christ should be the sweetest message there is. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm coming to receive you. We were in Matthew 25. I'm just going to go back there for a little again. We left off in 33, but in 34 it says, this is in the account where He was separating the sheep from the goats. Verse 34. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. What a beautiful word this morning. Come. And it's my desire that each and every one of us would be able to hear those words someday. Come. Ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. That we don't have to hear the words that it says later on in this passage. Depart from me. The opposite of come. Go. Depart. But I trust that we will be able to hear the words. Come. Ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you. And then in Revelations, we could look at many other scriptures, but I think I'll bring it to a close here. Revelations 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And then jumping down to verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And this morning, if we have come to Christ, and we truly have come to Christ and given 100%, like Stan said this morning, then this message of Him coming quickly can be a very beautiful word this morning. And I trust it is in your hearts. And then we will be able to also respond, like it says there in verse 20, even so come, Lord Jesus. And I trust that you can say that this morning from the bottom of your heart. Even so come, Lord Jesus. We as believers, we should be able to say that. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Because it's one of the sweetest things, the most blessed thing that we're looking forward to, our coming of our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I think I'll close with that. Would we be able to, in a closing prayer, just turn to Song 6, and Brother Mark, would you be able to lead that for us? And let's just pray that prayer as we sing that song, number 606.
Do so, O Thy faith. Come to me.
Thank you, brother. One word, come. You know, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is simple. It's come. It's come. You know, it's a simple choice, is it not? To come to Him. You know, I appreciated all the practicality about it, not just for the soul that's holding out to come, but it's the anxieties of life that we face. It's the difficulties. It's the times we are laying there at night trying to sleep with all these things coming. We can cast our care upon Him, for He cares for us. It's Grandpa Harold yesterday over here at the hospital with intense pain. It's those battles of life, and we can come to Him. We come to Him. I appreciated the scripture you referred to there in the end, and that's the invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will may drink of the water of life freely. You know, it's a simple choice to come. I remember looking at my wife that day after we heard a message, after the service was over, and I looked at her and she looked at me and said, that's it. Our decision was made. We're coming. You know, yesterday over here at the hospital, as we were waiting to go back, there was also a mother standing there holding a crying child with a pillow here, and the blood was running down. I heard her tell the nurse that he fell on a bicycle and his one tooth was knocked back and something was cut real bad. And the child was crying and the mother was comforting that child. You know, I could have went over to that child and tried to do anything to get that child in my arms and it wouldn't have worked. That child knew where its comfort was. And so often, as God's children, we do all these other options out there rather than just simply coming. I want to live my life like that. It's not only the initial come, but it's many times coming to God. It's living there, casting our care upon Him, for He cares for us. You know, that invitation is always open for the struggling soul. For the struggling soul. Come. Raise your hand and we'll get a mic to you if you have anything to share. Brother Carl up here.
I feel like we've been standing on holy ground this morning from beginning to end, and I trust we've all heard the voice of our God speak to us today. And I was so blessed with the opening. And as Brother David shared when he started out in his message, and he was sharing about the word come, my mind immediately went to a number of scriptures that he got to towards the end of his message. But Jesus' invitation to come there in Matthew 11, come unto me. And I had to think of the things Stanley shared, and I realized it's personal. And it's very humbling to me and a blessing to me as his father to see God doing in his life the things I can't do. It's personal. And every one of us here this morning needs to answer that call. And it is a personal call from Jesus. And our response to that call and our willingness to give that 100% is going to determine whether we can say those words that David closed with in confidence, even so come, Lord Jesus. And for those of us that have committed our all, however imperfectly, but love Him with 100% of our hearts, it is a sweet thing to think of the trials of this life being over, the pain of this life being finished, the temptations of this life being no longer here, and being able to be with the one that we've loved. And it's my prayer and desire that every single one of us here could find that personal relationship, personal commitment, and answer that call. Amen. He's inviting us to come, and then He will come also.
That's right.
It's not all one-sided. He's such a loving God, wanting to bless us, wanting to pour His grace and peace upon us, but we have to come.
Amen. His hand is outstretched. Still. Anyone else? Nathan?
Yeah, I just thank God for the message this morning, and the whole service has been a blessing to me and inspiration. I certainly can relate to the matter of, you know, sometimes lying awake because there's things going on through my mind, and I've been thinking this even before this morning here, but just realizing that when those times come, I need to just come to the Lord and just lay all those cares at His feet, and He does such an amazing job of taking those burdens if we will come to Him instead of trying to carry them ourselves. And that's such a blessing. And I too can, I'm looking forward to that day when the Lord will come. As we heard, He is coming and He will not tarry. And I've been reading Gary Miller's book, Reaching America, and he gives quite a few accounts in there of the billboard evangelism conversations that have happened. People that called in responding to a billboard message, and just recognizing there's just so many people out there that don't understand the reality of life and the blessing that comes when we just come to God and come to Christ. But we have a message, as Stan was also mentioning, that it's an invitation of Christ, and that we are here as His ambassadors to bring that message to all those out there who need to hear it. Come to the Lord.
Amen. Just appreciated the simplicity of that message. And if we have come to the Lord and we have found Him, we have that message that we heard this morning to take to a needy, hurting world. Jane's up here in the front.
Yeah, I was blessed by both messages and this that was given here. Just one thought about Stan's message is, you know, if we want a spiritual, vibrant church, every one of us that claim the name of Christ, I think, need to be able to say what Stan did this morning. You know, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% in. If we would all say that, we would have an incredibly vibrant church. And as far as the one word, come, if I was invited to the governor's office in Pennsylvania, I would consider that an honor. I'm not sure what the purpose would be, but if I was invited for a reasonable purpose, I would go. If I was invited by the President of the United States to come to the White House to see Him, I would go. But if Jesus Christ, the Creator, has invited Him, us to come, me to come, mm-hmm, I'm all in.
Amen. All right, well, the challenge that I would like to take to myself and the encouragement that I'd like to give to all of us, and as we connect the messages together here this morning, you know, God is inviting us to come to 100% commitment to Jesus Christ. That's it. That's what God is calling us to this morning. How much different will our church look next week if we come together unanimously to that commitment? And we say, well, that's idealism. Well, maybe it is. But let that be our goal. Amen. Let's really turn our hearts towards God. What a blessing. What an opportunity that we have.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.